The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
One of the great wars that Israel had to fight, and this was against enormous opposition, was the Milchamas Chanukah, the War of Chanukah, which was caused by the Yevonim, the ancient Greek Empire. This was an empire, a nation, which was very large, very great, very brutal. Took place during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. Took place during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Thank you. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis states, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah, what are we celebrating? The Tanna Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, the Chof Hei B'Kislev Yuma De Chanukah Timnayu, the 25th of Kislev. From that day we count 8 days of Chanukah, Inan the Leila Mispat Behen, the Leila Sanis Behen. These are days which are set aside that we should not partake in any sorrow. We're not allowed to eulogize, we're not allowed to fast. When the Greek Empire entered into the Hegel, this was the inner chambers of the Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash. But this is the Hegel was divided into two sections, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy and the Holy Holies. They entered into the Kodesh. That's, and Timu Kol HaShmonim Shebehechel. They caused all of the oil in the Hechel to become impure. U'kishegavru Malchus Beis HaShmonai. There was a family of Kahanim, and they at that time were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, and they were known as the Hashmonoim. Under their leadership, when they became strong, finally, Venitzchum, and they became victorious over the Greeks, they wanted to purify the Beis HaMikdash and the Hegel. They also wanted to light the Neiros, the candles of the menorah which was in the Hegel. They looked for oil, and they could only find one flask that they could be certain that the Greeks did not cause to become impure. And this was still sealed with the seal of the Kain Godel of the great priest. And there was only sufficient oil to burn for one day. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a miracle and it lasted for 8 days. The next year, Kavom Vasum Yomim Tovim, the Sanhedrin, the great court decreed that this should be a yamtiv kept for ages, for generations. Yomim Tovim b'Halo v'Heido. With Halo, where Halo is said, and Heido, giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi explains, not that it should be Yomim Tovim, which are Surin b'Malocha, Yomim Tovim, which we are not allowed to do work in, but days of praise and days of Heido, of thanksgiving. The Rambam adds a bit to this. at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam explains, he writes, "Bebayis Sheni, Kishemochu Yolam," during the second Beis Hamikdash, when the Greek Empire, Kishemochu Yolam Gozur Gzeiris al Yisrael, when the Greek Empire decreed all types of ordinances against Yisrael, Ubotl Dosum, and they did not allow Klal Yisrael to fulfill the Torah. They did not allow Klal Yisrael to study Torah, to teach Torah, or to fulfill mitzvahs. And they stretched out their hands and they took the wealth of Yisrael, they took their daughters. And they went into the Heichel, into the Beis Hamikdash, and there they did all types of abominations, and they caused tumah, impurity, to that what was impure, that was pure. But sad lehem ni Yisrael mi od mi bnehem, belochatzum lachatz godl, and it was a great sorrow, great suffering to Yisrael because of them. Great affliction. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our fathers, showed compassion. And he saved us from their hands. And he gave strength to the family of the Hashmonoim, who were the high priests. And they killed them. And saved Israel from their hands. And they appointed a king from the Kahanim. And the Malchus, the kingship, was returned to Israel for more than 200 years. And Achur ben Asheni, until the second Beis Hamikdash came to its end by another empire. And when Klal Yisrael were successful, were victorious in defeating their enemies, it was in the 25th day of Kislev, they went into the Beis Hamikdash and they only found one flask of oil, and it was sufficient only to light for one day. And they lit the candles of the menorah, which was in the Heichel. There was a menorah in the Heichel, gold menorah, which had seven candles. And the mitzvah was to light it every day in the afternoon and would burn all night till the morning. They lit the candles and and through a miracle it lasted for 8 days until they had time to grind olives and to make new pure olive oil. And because of that, the sages of that generation decreed that these 8 days from the 25th of Kislev should be days of Simcha, days of Hallel, of saying Hallel, of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umarlikin b'hen aneres b'erev al piskei abatim b'chol laila v'laila mishmeinis aleiles, and that we light candles in front of our houses every night from the 8 days, during the 8 days, laharais u'legales hanes, to publicize and to show everyone the great miracle. These days are called Chanukah, and one is not allowed to eulogize or to do sad things on these days, to fast, like just like we're not allowed on Purim. And the lighting of the candles is a mitzvah from the Divrei HaSeferim, from the early sages, similar to the mitzvah of reading the Megillas Esther on Purim. So this is a little background as to what took place during Hanukkah. The Torah tells us right at the beginning of the Sefer Torah. Fact is, it's the second pasuk. The first pasuk states, "Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz." In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. That's the first pasuk. Second pasuk says, "Ba'aretz Hayisasayu Vavayu VeChesech Al Panei Sohom." The earth was tohu, it was empty, vavohu, it was not in any particular, it was desolate, not in any particular order, choshech, there was darkness, tohom, there was endless depths, v'ruach elokim marachefes al pnei hamoyim, and the spirit of Hashem hovered over the water. That's the second pasuk. The third pasuk states, v'yehi elokim, v'yehi marachim yior. Hashem said, let there be light, vayhi or, and there was light. First pasuk comes and tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating heavens and earth, heaven and earth. This was creation. Second pasuk starts to tell us about things which are contrary to creation. There was emptiness, desolation, darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Endless depths. Then it states, but the spirit of Hashem hovered over the water. Then the third pasuk tells us about or. Hashem created light and there was or, there was light. The Medrash Rabbah on this pasuk in Parshas Beis Osei, Reb Shimon Loki is posa kroy b'malchus. Why is the Torah telling us about the lack or the antithesis to creation when it's speaking about the creation of the world? And there are four phrases, four descriptions of the lack of creation: tohu, vohu, cheshech, and tohom. Shimon Lokish posak rabbe malchus. Shimon Lokish, he explained this, that this is referring to four great empires that will rise up. Oratzai said tohu, the earth was tohu, empty zumalchus bavru. This refers to the first great empire amongst the goyim, amongst the nations of the world, the Babylonian Empire. And then he brings a source why that word should describe it. Vavohu. And then there was a total disorder and desolation to Malchus Modai. Babel was the Nebuchadnezzar. That was the empire that destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash. And then we went into exile. Second refers to Modai. Modai is that after we went into the exile of Babel, we went into the exile of Modai. Actually, the second empire destroyed the first empire. Modai was the Persian-Syrian empire, of which Ahasuerus was the king. And later on, he joined forces with Haman to destroy Klal Yisrael, or to attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael. Choshech, darkness, refers to Malchus Yavan. This refers to the ancient Greek Empire. Historically, the Greek Empire, under Alexander the Great, Alexander Mokdon, the sages refer to him as, he is the one who destroyed the Syrian-Persian Empire. He took it over. But they were called Choshech, darkness. They brought darkness to the eyes of Klal Yisrael with their decrees. And Shaisa Amenas Lehem Kisvalker and Ashur Shain Lachem Chelek Beleke Yisrael. And they said to them that you have no Torah, you lost the Torah during the time of the golden calf. After Hashem gave you the Torah, you went and worshipped the golden calf. Go right on the horn of the bull, which represents the golden calf, that you have no particular portion in Torah or in the God of Israel. Alpanei Tehom, the endless depths, Zu Malchus Harasho. This refers to the very wicked empire. That is the empire of Esav, which is known as Edom, which from him came the Roman Empire, the previous empire, who took over the empire from Ahasuerus later, and they started to spread all over the world. After the death of Alexander the Great, they went under the leadership of Antiochus, and they invaded Israel, and then took place the story of Hanukkah. Eventually, they were defeated by the fourth empire, the seed of Esav, Edom, which became the Roman Empire. The Romans, under Titus Arosho, destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim, exiled Klal Yisrael, and we're still in that exile today. What they are referred to as Tahom, endless depths, Shein Lecheker Kamei HaTahom. Matahom Azein Lecheker Afreshoim came, because their evil was known as endless. If you recall, we gave a shiur not long ago that on the Sulam, on the ladder, and when Yaakov saw each one climb up and fall, he could not see how far Edom climbed. V'ruach Elokim Arachefes, what does it mean that the spirit of Hashem hovered? Zuruch Eshel Melech HaMashiach. This refers to the Melech HaMashiach. And the Melech HaMashiach will come on the water, B'shchus HaTshuva, Shanim Shel Ramayim. Water refers to Tshuva. When Klal Yisrael does Tshuva, then the Melech HaMashiach will come. That represents the fifth empire that will finally destroy. That represents Yaakov. This week's Parsha Vayishlach, we have the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav, when they will finally destroy the last of the empires and then bring the empire of Yisrael, the Malchus of Hashem, back into the world. So we have here, we're speaking about four very great and terrible empires that will rise up. Now, why does the Torah write about this immediately at the beginning? The Maral Miprag explains, because the question we asked, we're dealing here with creation. These are empires that are dealing with destruction. The world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was a perfect world, a good world, as it states in the entire Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the entire creation, Vayara Hashem Ki Tov. Hashem saw everything and it was good. When Hashem says it's good, that means it's good. It was good and it was full of truth. And there was light, and there was purity, and there was Kedusha, there was sanctity. However, that was from his aspect, but from the aspect of the recipients of the creation, the people, he had foreseen. They have the power of choice to choose between good and evil. He had foreseen that they would try to destroy all of this, and they would try to take this perfect world and destroy it with evil and with sheker, with deceit, and with darkness, and with tumah, with impurities, and with the contrary to kedusha, to sanctity. And this is what we see in the world. What has been the history of the world? The history of the world has been continuous war between the nations, where it's bloodshed. This is the whole history of the world. And therefore, this was told to us right at the creation. Kodesh Baruch Hu is creating a world that is good and perfect, and a world of truth and light, of goodness and righteousness. But from the aspect of the world, there will rise up powers that will constantly try to destroy all of this. And all during the history of the world, there will be this war, this struggle between the Tev and the Ra, the good and the evil, the Or and the Cheshech, the light and the darkness, the Emes and the Sheker, the truth and the deceit, the Tum of the Tahara, the purity and the impurity, the Kedusha, the sanctity and that what is not sanctified. From one aspect, the world will try to seek Shlemus, perfection. And from the other aspect, and that's creation, from the other aspect, there will be destruction. The leaders, the representatives, the greatest powers of the 70 nations of the world will be these four empires. And through them will come the greatest striving for destructive forces in the world. From the other aspect, the leaders in the world to seek perfection and goodness and light instead of darkness, that will be Israel. Therefore it states, V'ruach Hashem arachepes al amayim, the Spirit of Hashem will hover over the water. This refers to the Melech HaMashiach, the ultimate seed of Israel, that will come and finally bring light and perfection to the world, and finally destroy these empires. And this is why the very next posuk states, Vayare lekim es or kitay, excuse me, Vayem elekim yi'or, Hashem said, let there be light. Vayi'or, and there was light. And the Medrash tells us, again in Parshas Beis, Os Dalet, we're not only referring here to a physical light, to the light of the sun. We're referring here to the spiritual light, which is the source of the physical light. Yi'or ze Avraham. This refers to Abraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a world, and there's going to be a great struggle. From one side will be the nations of the world represented through these four empires, and from the other side, Vayhi Or, through the light of Abraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that light will come into the world only 20 generations after the creation, when Abraham will be born. And ultimately his seed will go to be Mekabel Torah, bring Torah into the world. And ultimately that seed, the descendant of David HaMelech, will come and finally bring perfection to the world. So here the Torah is telling us in these three psukim some world history. And historically, we have found it all to be true. These empires, each one rose up. Each one wanted to rule the world. Each one wanted to destroy what was good in the world. They brought bloodshed to the world. They brought theft to the world. They brought all type of abominations to the world. And each one rose up against Israel, because Israel represented the light in the world. And eventually, another empire came and swallowed up that empire. Now, Daniel, the prophet, he had a vision, a dream. This dream is brought in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Beis onwards, and also in Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Ches. Onay Daniel ve'Omar, Chazei Havisu beChazei im Leilo. He said, I had a dream. It was nighttime. Baru arba ruchei shemayo migichon leyam rabo. Rashi explains, I saw four great winds coming from four corners of the world and all set against the Yam HaGodlu, the great ocean. We saw Arash Eshoah and whipped up the ocean into a fury. This is what I saw. And after a while, as the ocean was being whipped up into such a fury by these four ferocious winds coming from all corners of the world, I saw Arba Chevon Ravravin Solken Min Yama Shanyo Shanyo Domindo. I saw four Chayos, four creatures, each one different from the other, come out of the sea. Kadmeise Ka'arye. The first one looked like a lion. The Gapin di Nashalo. And it had wings of an eagle. And he goes on to describe it. He describes it further. Then he says, Varu Chevas Ochachori. And after him I saw another creature. Tinyonov, Damiladev. This one looked like a bear. The Asadano, and then he goes on to describe it further. The Asadano Jose Haviso Vioru Ochrei Kinamar. Then I saw another great creature come out of this sea. And this one looked like a leopard. The Lord Gapin Arbo, the Eif. And it had four wings like a bird. Al Gabayu, on its back. The Arbo Reishin Lechevoso. And it had four heads. The Sholtin Yoidlo. And it became a ruler. Then the next night I had another dream, and a fourth creature came out. This was more horrific and more terrifying than all of them. It had iron teeth. Ravravon, great teeth, and it was eating and destroying. It had, and he was Mishanyu Mikol Chevoso. He was different than all of the other creatures that were before. The Kanaya Asalor. And it had 10 horns. Daniel saw these four creatures. And Rashi brings the Chazal where each one represented one of the four empires. The first one, he says, the one that looked like a lion, Yimalchus Bovel. This was the Babylonian Empire. The second one, that looked like a bear, Zuremes Lamalchus Poras. This was Poras and Mordai. The third one, that looked like a leopard, Rashi says, he brings from the Chazal, this was the Greek Empire. Alexandros Mukdon, under Alexander the Great. The fourth one was Edom, Esau. The Maral explains what was going on here. He saw them all in the vision of a wild animal, This was to teach us that they were very, very strong. And they were coming to tear apart and to destroy people, like wild animals do. They came from the sea, because the sea is Elamin Ayishuv. That's outside of civilization. The sea tries to destroy the civilization. They came out as if a threat to the Yishuv Elam, to the society of the world. Each one different than the other, because each one had particular powers that the other one didn't have. Actually, he says, man has three parts. He has the body, he has his nefesh, the slave, the heart and the emotions, the life that's in him, and he has the seichel, the intellect. The first three, each one was represented one of those sections. Fourth one, this represented man in its entirety. That's why the first three he saw on the first three nights, and the fourth one he saw on another night. Actually, the fourth one was so ferocious that the Chazal say in the Medrash to tell us that the fourth one was Shkulin Keneged Kulam, that he was equal to the first three. Now, we're concerned here with Yovan. He saw the Greek Empire as a leopard with four wings, and Sholtin Yoyim Lei, he was given sovereignty, he was given kingship. And then in Doniel in Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamates, there Doniel says, Umalka Tilsoi Acharei Di Nachsho Tishle B'chol Aro. I saw this third empire that he was made of Nechoshes, of copper or brass. And Tishleit B'chol Aro, he went to rule over the whole world. Now, what did this represent? Yovan, the Greek Empire, was a nation which had enormous striving for intellectual powers. The intellect of the person is just contrary to the physical makeup of the person or the emotional makeup of the person. Because physically, the body is drawn to whatever physical desires there are. If it's hungry, it wants to eat. It's thirsty, it wants to drink. Emotionally, the body is drawn to whatever desires of the heart. Chemdus aleiv. Jealousy, anger, love, whatever it might be. The intellect, however, is not drawn, is not pulled. The intellect seeks to free itself from the desires of the body, and to free itself from the desires of the heart, in order to become a creative force for what is true in the world, to recognize the truth and not be turned to the right or to the left. In other words, objectivity. There cannot be an intellectual pursuit without objectivity. There cannot be a science without objectivity. Objectivity means to free oneself from all external forces and influences and from all subjectivity. So contrary, where the body is drawn after what it wants to do, and the heart is drawn after what it wants to do, the mind seeks to free itself from all forces in order to reach the highest, the greatest heights of truth and objectivity. Because of this, the mind has to have an enormous strength. It has to be able to go forward and not be influenced. The body can be influenced. It's always influenced. It's influenced by its desires. The heart can be influenced. It's influenced by its desires. These are the emotions. But the mind, once it becomes influenced, is bottle has become nullified, the intellectual process. So it has to be a force that can withstand all influences of the world. Because of this, the mind must have a keach, a power, which the sages describe as azus. Azus means enormous strength, courage. What is courage? When you're influenced not to do something, if you're courageous, you still do it. Brazenness, not to flinch. The Chachamim tell us that of all of the animals, the most courageous and the most brazen is the Nomer, the leopard. So it states in the Sechta Ovis, Havi Az Kenomer. You should be as courageous as a leopard. Therefore, this nation, it was not interested in physical desires, not interested that much in emotional desires. It was interested in intellectual pursuit at the highest level. Doniel saw as a picture of a nomer, of a leopard. Of all the metals, the irons, it states that Nechoshes is the one that can withstand the most external influences. Therefore, he saw that it was made out of Nechoshes, out of this copper or brass. The wings which he saw, it had four wings. The four wings represented that it would fly to all corners. It would refuse to allow itself to be limited. The body is very limited. The emotions are limited. Mind is unlimited. Man's ability of understanding is to all four corners of the world. And we find that this nation in particular was known for its ambition to rule under Alexander the Great the entire world. This is the middle of the intellect of chokhmah, of wisdom. This is why it states that a judge has to give a judgment in accordance to what is right and wrong, in accordance to what is truth. He's not allowed to be influenced or to be drawn by his personal desires or other influences. Therefore it states on a judge, lo yaguru b'me'ish, you shall not fear any man. In other pursuits, you can fear people. A judge, lo yaguru b'me'ish, you shall show no fear from any man. A judge is not allowed to accept any money, because this distorts vision. And the judge that deals with wisdom, with the intellect, there can be no distortion. He is not to be compassionate when it comes to giving out a judgment, because compassionate already is bending the truth, because the chokhmah, wisdom, is exactly what is right, not too much to one side and not too much to the other side. This is why it states Lahabaishan Lemaid. The Baishan is the one who's just the opposite. The Baishan is the one who's afraid. He's bashful. He's intimidated. He's afraid. He's reserved. It states a Baishan will never become great in wisdom. Because how can he become great in wisdom if this is just the antithesis of what we're saying? If he backs off. The Gemara brings these midos, these qualities are not only needed for wisdom in general, but they're needed even more so for the wisdom of Torah, which is the greatest wisdom. Therefore it states that the Torah is called Esh Dos Lemoi Lamai. It is called a law of fire. There is nothing more brazen than a fire. Even a wild animal you can scare and you can cause him to retreat. A fire you cannot cause to retreat. The Gemara in Beitza brings Yisrael Azin Sheba Umas. After Yisrael received the Torah, they became the Azin, the most aggressive, the most courageous of all of the nations. So therefore, this nation that excelled in the intellect, in the seichel, in chokhmah, wisdom, had these powers. A few interesting notes which we've mentioned here before, but it was a number of years ago. Today the world has forgotten what the Greek Empire was. Today we live in a different type of world. We live in a world where we think it's a world of wisdom. It's not a world of wisdom, it's a world of money. It's a world which is profit driven. Anything that can make money, then it's good. If it can't make money, it has no place. To give you an idea of what the Greek Empire was, such subjects as geography, geometry, geology, these were all devised and founded by the Greeks. The word geo is a Greek word which means earth. Graphy comes from the word graphics, a Greek word which means to write. These were all their sciences which they developed. Hippocrates is known as the father of Western world medicine. We talk about our great achievements in medicine. It was built on other foundations of others. He lived about 500 BC, which was about 2,500 years ago. And we talk of what we've discovered about cancer. Well, in the medical books, encyclopedias, it states that he was the first to identify cancer, and he gave it its name 2,500 years ago. And cancer is a Greek word, which comes from the word crab, because he noticed the disease spread out like a crab. The word diet is a Greek word. He was the father of nutrition. Nutrition and diet, 2,500 years ago. Actually, a lot of the nutrition and diet that the modern world is coming back to now is his. The Hippocratic Oath is still taken by doctors. That was in the field of medicine. Aristotle, Rambam wrote on Aristotle that it was the greatest mind that he ever saw. And he says, without Ruach HaKodesh, without coming to Torah, there was no other mind as great as his. He was known as the father of philosophy, of science, and astronomy. We talk about how the modern world has proven that the world is a sphere. About 2,000 years before it was popularly accepted. It was only popularly accepted that the world was a sphere in 1500. Approximately 2,000 years before then, Aristotle and his colleagues satisfied themselves with proofs that the world was round. And how did they do it? They measured the shadows which was cast by the moon on the earth during an eclipse and concluded that it could be caused only by being a sphere. Now this is without the high-tech instruments. If we go to art, engineering, architecture, there is no art or architecture that is ever compared to the Greek. A number of students have told me that have studied this, a number of architects, that the alignment of their pillars, they used to align the Greek columns in such a way where they would not build them exactly straight, because when you look at something from a distance, the light waves cause breaks to the vision. So something that's straight will not look absolutely straight. So they would build it accordingly in order that it would be a perfection. And one student told me that even the decorative ornamentation was also styled in this manner. And it was unbelievable that someone could do this. When it came, for example, in mathematics, besides that what we mentioned, trigonometry, there's the Archimedes principle. He became famous because he developed that principle and he ran out of a bathhouse. He was so excited, he had no clothes on. He developed it in the bathhouse. And this is what they were striving for. We speak of democracy. Democracy is a Greek word. It was a concept that was developed by the Greeks. Compared to the Romans, we gave a shiur not long ago where it states Aesop or the Gazlano. The Romans stole everything from the Greeks. The books say that their art and their architecture and their engineering were cheap imitations from the Greeks. Even the language they stole. If you ask someone the ABC, he'll tell you it's Roman. It's not Roman, it's Greek. The original alphabet was of Greek origin. And originally it was written from right to left like Hebrew and other Semitic languages. The Chazal tell us, we'll make mention of that in a minute, that the Greek language was of the most beautiful of all of the 70 languages, original 70 languages of the world. And the Romans, the Chazal tell us, they're a nation belay ksav belay loshon. They're a nation that does not even have its own language or its own alphabet. Everything that they have, they stole from previous ones. Actually, this is the great influence in the Western world that we live in, is the Roman. We come to sport. We all know about the Olympics because we have Olympics today. Olympics, marathon, discus, javelin, these are all Greek words. But by then, sport was something else. They used to dedicate their children to the sport. To them, sport was a perfection. To come to the height of physical perfection. To them, it was a religion. It was an ideal. Today's Olympics is the greatest sham. And anybody in his right mind shouldn't have anything to do with it. And they have a lot of nerve even calling it by those names. What is Olympics today? It's steroids. It's drugs. It's billion-dollar television rights. It's beer ads, cigarette commercials. It's world capitals competing for the Olympics because of the financial gains under the guise of prosperity that they'll bring to them. They want to have it, they could. But it's an enormous sham that they give it the Greek names. The original Olympics, the law is still there, would never allow a professional to play. Anyone who ever accepted money for sport was never allowed in the original Olympics. Technically, the law is still there. Why? Because to the Greeks it was an ideal, it wasn't money. So, this gives us a little idea of the nation that we're dealing with. Because of that, they recognized the greatness of Israel. And they recognized the greatness of the Torah. Because there can be no greater wisdom than Torah. Not like other nations of the world that never had any appreciation for it or never had any respect for it. Where do we see this? We see this, for example, the Medrash Rabba says in Vayikra Yud Gimel Hey, Alexandrus Mokten, Mokten Kadchami L'Rab Shimon HaTzadik Ome Borach Hashem Elekei Shul Shimon HaTzadik. When Alexander the Great used to see Shimon the Righteous, he used to stand up for him. He was the mighty emperor. And he used to say, blessed the God of Shimon the Tzaddik. And he used to tell Shimon the Tzaddik that when I would dream of you, then I knew I would be victorious. They had Kavanah Torah. They had great honor for Torah. And it was because of this that we find that Bikshu HaYavonim, they came to the sages and they wanted the Sefer Torah to be written in the Greek language. You don't find that by the other nations. They wanted a Sefer Torah like we have, with the parchment, with everything. But it should be written in the Greek language. And this became a whole problem to the Chachomim. What? Write a Sefer Torah in another language? It became a whole problem. And this is a Mishnah, Masechta Megillah, Daf Ches Amud Beis. And the Mishnah states, after they did research into this, the Mishnah states, Reb Shimon Gamliel Aimer, Afas Forim Lehitir Shichtu Vela Yevanis. A Sefer Torah is not allowed to be written in any other language of the world except Hebrew, Loshon HaKodesh, Ksav Ashurish, the special type of Hebrew that we write, with one exception, Yevonis. It can be written in the Greek language. V'halocha ki Reb Shimon Gamliel. And the Gemara says the halocha is like him. And the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yutes, in case in Tefillin Mezuzah L'Biksav Ashuris, Tefillin or Mezuzah, that can only be in the proper Hebrew. Yitir B'Sforim, but a Sefer Torah can be written Ahbiyavani, can also be written in Greek language. No other language except Ksavashuris, Loshana Kodesh, the Hebrew language, or the Greek language. And the Gemara brings us, the Chachomim had to find a source as to where was it permitted, but they found the source. And then he writes, Rambam, "Pan nishka yevoni min ha'ilam, v'nishtabish v'ovad, l'fichach en keis fin ha'yeim, shleishten l'ashuris." He says this is not applicable today, because the Greek language, this was in the Rambam's time yet, 1,000 years ago, the Greek language that we have today, he writes, is not the real Greek language of the ancient Greeks. It's already diluted and full of errors and so forth. So therefore today we must only write in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. But if someone knew the original Greek language, you could write a Sefer Torah in that. And the Gemara says why? Because it was why did Hashem permit it? It was the most beautiful of all of the languages. They were the experts when it came to the pursuit of intellectual perfection and intellectual beauty. They were the experts. And evidently something like that would even beautify the Torah. Now, we can ask the question, if this was the case, so why then all of a sudden did they come to rise up against Klal Yisrael, and they invaded Eretz Yisrael, and they went and they made impure everything that was impure, and they made decrees against Israel, Laviram, to take them away from their edicts, Laskicha Metera Secho, to take them away from their Torah? And why did the sages refer to them as Choshech? In the Sefer Torah, where it states there were these imperfections, the imperfection of darkness, they say, was this nation. And also, if they were blessed with such strength, how did they lose it? To understand this, first we must understand what is the distinction between the wisdom they had and the wisdom of Israel. The wisdom of what they had, which is known, is Chochmas Eilam Hazeh. They came to the ultimate perfection of the wisdom and the beauty of the physical world, which is something very great, like we see their achievements. Modern technology is built on their achievements. But the wisdom of Torah, it's different. That's the ultimate perfection and wisdom of Olam Ha'Elyon, of the spiritual world. There is what is known as Chochmas HaTachtona and Chochmas Elyona, the wisdom of the lower worlds, that's this physical world, the wisdom of the non-physical world, the spiritual world. When it comes to the wisdoms of engineering, of science, of math, of astronomy, of language, of medicine, of the perfection of the body, of sport, they came to the greatest heights of the wisdom of this world. But when it comes to the ultimate in truth, to the ultimate in righteousness, to the ultimate in justice, to the ultimate in goodness. This is a higher level of wisdom. This is a wisdom that doesn't come from this world. This is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his own wisdom, that he brought down into this world on Har Sinai. That he gave only to Abraham. That he gave only to Yitzchak and Yaakov. That he gave to Moshe and Har Sinai. We see many, many nations, okay, to great levels in wisdom. Yet when it came to right and wrong, they couldn't see between the difference between their right foot and their left foot. What did we see Germany do with its wisdom? They used enormous wisdom to create U-2 bombs, to create destructive submarines, to try to create an atomic bomb. Russia gathered the greatest scientists of the world to create a nuclear bomb. I read in an article during one crisis in Vietnam, President Lyndon Johnson said, this was found, they recently made public his tapes. So it's a tape of a meeting that he's having with top level Pentagon officials. And they were planning a move in Vietnam. And he said, they told him to attack. He said, I'm afraid to do it. He said, it could trigger off a nuclear war, which could kill 40 million Americans in an hour. This is what he said. Could trigger off a nuclear war which could kill 40 million Americans in an hour. This is wisdom, but a very long way from what is right and wrong, from what is just and unjust, from what is tohar and tomei, what is kodush and chol. Those secrets were given only to Israel. There is the Chochmah HaTachtona and the Chochmah HaElyona. The wisdom of this world and the wisdom of the worlds beyond. Torah comes from the worlds beyond. This is why the sages say that when you see Hareya Chochom Mechach Meumas, when you see a wise man from the wise of the nations, you have to make a brocha. It's a blessing. Wisdom is a blessing. What brocha do you make? Shenosan mechokmosei lebosu v'dom. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave from his wisdom, because that's also his wisdom. Who's the master engineer of the world? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenosan mechokmosei lebosu v'dom. He gave from his wisdom to flesh and blood. Hareya chachmei Yisrael. But if you see the wise of Israel, the chachmei Torah, what bracha do you make? A different bracha. Shecholak mechokmosei lireov. Not shenosan that he gave, but shecholak he imparted from his wisdom, and not to flesh and blood, but to those who fear him. Shecholak mechokmosei milireov. The wisdom of engineering, of mathematics, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. The wisdom of Torah, that he imparts, because that's part of him. He cannot give that away. He can share it, because the sages say that Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And who does he share it with? Not any Boser Gadon, not any flesh and blood. Lireov, to those who fear him. Sod Hashem Lireov, the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave only to those who fear him. This is why the sages say, this is an Eicha Rabba, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Im Yemaloch Odom, Yesh Chochma Bagoim. If someone will tell you that there's wisdom in the nations, Tami, believe him. There's great wisdom in the nations. Yesh Torah Bagoim. But if someone will tell you there is Torah in the nations, Al Tami. No, do not believe him. Ki Ein Torah Ela Bi Yisrael. Because Torah was only to Yisrael Lireov. And that's what it states in Eicho Malka Visareho Bagoim Ein Torah. Torah is not to be found by the nations of the world. So this is the distinction between the wisdom of the Greek Empire and that of Israel. Now, before we come to their error, where did they fall short? We have to learn one other little parsha, and that's to go to their origin. Where did the Greeks come from? Their name is Yavon, because Yavon was one of the grandchildren of Noach. Noach had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. And one of the sons of Yefes was Yavon. And the Torah tells us, actually, Yefes, the word Yefes itself represents beauty. And the Torah tells us, it states, and this is in Parshas Noach, Yudches, in Bereishis Tes, Posuk Yudches, it states that after the flood, so he had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. And Chom had a son by the name of Canaan. And from these three, the whole world came out from. Then it states that Noah went, and he planted a vine, and he drank wine, and he became drunk. And he fell asleep in the tent, by Yisgal, and he fell asleep, and he was all uncovered. And Chom, the father of Canaan, saw Erev HaSoviv, they saw the nakedness of their father. And the Chazal say that they committed, it's a question as to exactly what, but they committed some type of abomination with him while he was sleeping. And then the two other brothers found out about it, Shem and Yefes. Vayikach Shem v'Yefes es asimla. Shem and Yefes took a cloak, a garment. Vayosim ashkem shnehem. They put it on their backs. Vayilchach oranis. And they walked in backwards to the tent. Vayichaso yisarvis aviyim. And they covered up the nakedness of their father. And they were turned around the other way. In order that they should not see their father uncovered. Noach woke up from his drunkenness, and then he realized what his son had done to him. Chom. So he called in his sons and he said, "Vayema oru Canaan ever avodim yelechov." He said, "Canaan, who's the son of Chom, you will be cursed. Your generations will be cursed, and the nations that will come from you will be cursed." Shame, Borach Hashem elokeishem. Shame will be blessed by Hashem. Vikan ever lomai, and Canaan will be a slave to him. From Shame came Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov and Israel. Yefes, Yafne Lekim Le Yefes. Yefes, let Hashem make you beautiful. Yishka in Baal Shem, and you will dwell in the tents of Shem. And Canaan will also be a slave to you. So he gave one curse and two brachas. The two brachas were given to Shem and to Yefes. To Shem he gave the bracha of Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, that Hashem, that Hashem will bless you. This was the blessing which from there came Israel and Torah, the blessing of the spiritual world. What bracha did he give to Yefes? Yachdelechim leYefes. Physical perfection. Not necessarily physical perfection, but perfection and beauty of the physical world. Laf Yachdelechim leYefes. And the Gemara says that specifically this bracha took hold in his son Yovan, where he would become the master of the perfection of the physical world. Now the question is, Shem got a better bracha. Why did he give Shem a better bracha than Yefes? It states they both did this mitzvah. So Rashi explains, he says the reason why, because it states, Vayikach Shem v'Yefes Enksi vayikhu ela vayikach. It says Shem v'Yefes he took. Doesn't say Shem v'Yefes took the garment, but Shem v'Yefes he took. One of them took. Limur al Shem shenisat ametz b'mitzvah yeser v'Yefes. Shem is the one who took the garment and told Yefes, come with me. So the leader was Shem. Yefes followed him. Therefore, Shem was given a greater brocha than Yefes. What do we see from here? They worked as partners. But who was the leader? Shem. Shem knew what to do. He knew what was right and what was wrong. He took the garment and he called Yefes. And Yefes joined them. And together they were a perfection of both worlds. And had they followed this, there would have been a perfection. Through the Greek enormous striving for intellectual wisdom, unlimited wisdom, and the pursuit of truth in this world. Look at the enormous blessings they brought. And they were supposed to work together with Shem, with Yisrael. And then Yisrael would have provided the wisdom of the higher worlds, the right and the wrong, and the light and the darkness, and then there would have been a perfection in the world. This is how it should have been. Something went wrong. What went wrong? The Greek Empire, being what they were, they had a striving where they wanted to be the masters of the world, the intellectual giants of the world. And they could not tolerate that someone was greater than them. If someone would have been maybe greater than them in spending money or pursuing gold, that they could have tolerated. It wasn't their field. But someone should be greater than them in ultimate perfection, in a greater wisdom, in a greater kedusha, in greater heights. No. Therefore, they didn't rise up against Israel to destroy them. We don't find that they wanted to destroy them. They wanted to culturize them. They wanted to make them their culture. They wanted them to become like Greeks. This was the Hellenistic movement. They wanted to cause impurity to them. The Hellenism, we say, they only wanted them to give up their Torah, give up their mitzvahs. They weren't interested in burning the Beis Hamikdash. It says Timuas Hamikdash. They wanted to cause impurities to it. They wanted to be the kings. They wanted to rule. And therefore, they used their wisdom to try to extinguish the wisdom of the Torah. To try to extinguish the wisdom of the Torah and to bring darkness to the world. This is why the sages say, Choshech, darkness. This was the Greek Empire. Because there was no empire that was more specifically against the wisdom of the Torah, the perfection of the Torah, as this empire. They would have been very happy. Haman wanted to Lashkichom, Lahavidom. He wanted to totally destroy every Jew. They would have been very happy to leave the Jews living as long as they would give up the Torah. They wanted to extinguish the light of the Torah. Therefore, Choshech, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and creation was coming into formation, but there would be darkness in the world, this manifested itself through the mighty Greek Empire. One final note. So great they were that they were able to penetrate the Heichal. They went into the Heichal and timu kol hashmonim, and they were able to cause impurity to all of the oil. But the Maral writes that the Heichal is where the menorah was, and it had 7 candles, and that represented this world, because this world was created in 7 days. And that they could have a sovereignty over with their greatness. But they never were able to make a step into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of the Holies. The Holy of the Holies, the Torah tells us what was there, the Oren. And in the Oren was only the Sefer Torah, and the Luchos HaBris, the 10 commandments, the stone commandments. And there, the Torah tells us, why was it called the Oren? Because Or, light. Umishom Nivresa Or. And that was the source of the light for the physical world. The spiritual little light that comes down to the world. And the Torah is called light. Torah Or. And that level is higher than 7. That level is known as a level of Shminis, of 8. Because that's beyond the physical world. And Torah was created before the physical world. And Torah was given into this world only after 7 weeks of counting between the going out of Egypt and the receiving of the Torah. The 8th week, the 50th day, it was given. And only the Kohen Gadol could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he was the only one who ever wore the particular garments for the Kohen Gadol, which was Shmona Begodim, 8 garments. In other words, they were able to penetrate to the various, to the greatest heights of the physical world, but not beyond. That already was the domain of Yisrael. And from there came the miracle. This is why the miracle, we find that the oil was under the seal of the Kohen Gadol Dafker, of the high priest.
And we find that the miracle lasted 8 days, not 7 days, like the number of candles that are in the Heichal, but 8 days. This represented that it was a miracle that was coming from higher than the physical world. And now we can understand very well. It always states that the Oren is light, Torah is light. Why is this always called light? Because of anything that we can see that is divorced from physical elements is light. The higher you go up, and the clearer the light becomes, and the less physical it becomes. The lower you go, the source of everything physical is the earth. The lower you go into the earth, the less light there is, the more darkness there is. And if you would keep going higher and higher, you eventually would come to an end of physical light, and there would be its force, the spiritual light. Just like there's a light we can see with our eyes, there's a light we can see with our mind and soul. They could see so far with their mind, but they could not see farther with their soul. That was the domain of Klal Yisrael. So now we understand very well. The first pasuk in the Torah it states, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. He was putting creation into motion. The next pasuk it states, V'haaretz ha'isa tohu v'vohu v'cheshech ha'panei haton. But there were four contrary forces to creation. There was tohu v'vohu, emptiness and voidness, confusion, there was darkness, there were depths. This was going to represent the four great empires that would be contrary to creation. Then the next pasuk states, Bayim Hashem Yi Or Vayhi Or. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Medrash says, no, this doesn't merely refer to the physical light of the sun, this refers to the source of the physical light. Abraham, the spiritual light that his children will bring Torah into the world, because this will be the light that will dissipate the darkness, Choshech Zuyovan, the darkness which are caused by these forces that will try to destroy creation. And this will bring creation eventually to its ultimate, to its perfection. So this is an explanation into what went on during Hanukkah, what was the struggle about, and the miracle that took place. We should all be zeicher to Hanukkah Sameach. We should be zeicher. Everyone should have a very, very pleasant and safe summer, especially if you're traveling. And we should be zeicher from here to understand how one must pursue Torah. If this is the height of physical wisdom that we see that this nation came to, then this is a lesson for us how to what height of wisdom we must pursue to penetrate and to comprehend, to understand the great wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, which were given to us for the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.